This one we are going to focus on is why we have a split in historic time from BC to AD. Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. You know, there was no split in time until Jesus came. And now all of a sudden, humanity now recognized there was a before Christ, and we now live in the year of our Lord. We are going to look at this one that his, through him his followers toppled empires just by mere following of his teachings and his example. Rome fell because men and women were unwilling to denounce this man. Many believed so much in this one that they laid down their lives because they would not deny him. So today and all this year, we will cast all of our attention on this authentic Christ. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." What we have just read is what the Apostle John wrote down in the most profound truth in the clearest terms possible. John writes his gospel for the purpose to refute any and all false teachings about Jesus. The Gnostics were rising up, and the Gnostics began to teach that Jesus wasn't a man, he was just a spirit. And being a spirit, he couldn't have died. Now John, hearing about this, John in fact wrote the last gospel. Right? He was the last one to write his gospel. And John had finally had enough of people teaching about Jesus wrongly. And so John stood up and said, "Listen, you people don't know Jesus. You're putting together some kind of theology, but you never knew him, you never walked with him. I walked with this Jesus. I sat beside him. I put my head on his chest the night he was betrayed. I am the one whom Jesus loved. So let me tell you about Jesus." And so what we hear and what we see as we get into the book of John isn't somebody's idea of who Jesus is. Or was, we're hearing from one who was a witness to the Christ. From the very get-go, John was one of the first ones to be called by Jesus and to follow him. And so he is writing this to refute any and all teachings about Christ. And I believe today, more than ever, we must rise up and do the same. The deity of Jesus Christ is essential and non-negotiable. He is God in flesh. And anybody who teaches differently is an antichrist. In verses 1 and 2, we see the origin of the Christ. The Bible tells us he was in the beginning. This means that Jesus Christ was already in existence when everything else we see and know was created. He was already there. He is the Word. In your Bibles, that word ought to be capitalized. If in your Bible that word isn't capitalized, throw it out and get you another translation. The Greek word for word is logos. Now, for the Greeks, The word logos would speak to reason and order of the universe. So what John is telling to those, the Greeks that are reading this, is that Jesus is the personification and embodiment of reason and order. Everything that makes sense in this world is because of Jesus. He's the one that's created order. And so that would have spoke loudly to the Greeks. Logos for the Jews, it would be the expression of divine power and wisdom. John is presenting to them Jesus as the incarnation of divine power and revelation. And in doing such, saying that Jesus is God's final words to mankind. You know, there's a lot of people that want to add to God's word. They want to add to the Bible that there's new something new from God being given through this person to man. And that it would be a lie. Jesus is the last word of God to man. He's the final word. Nothing else needs to be said or done. He's the exclamation point on salvation. I go back to what our brother read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. We see that Jesus, the Word, was with God. One of the things we're going to do as we go throughout this year is we're going to try to figure out this whole Trinity thing. Who was Jesus praying to in the garden? We're going to speak upon those things. But we must understand that the Word, that Jesus, the Christ, was with God. He was in the beginning with God. This speaks loud and clearly of his eternal preexistence. We must also understand that the Word is a person and not an attribute of God. The Word was and is God. What you hold in your hand right now is the very Christ that you worship. He is in here. He speaks to us. He walks with us. We are foolish if we do not pick this up on a daily basis and pour into it and see what Jesus wants to say to us. Because he is the Word. And yet we treat it so flippantly. We shouldn't have to have Craig Standish try to talk us into being in the Word of God all year. That should be a no-brainer for us as followers of Jesus, because this is Jesus. Many times we beg, oh, if God would just speak to me. Oh, if God would just talk to me. Oh, if I could just hear God's voice. Listen, you can hear God's voice when you read his Word. He is the Word. And he is God. Verse 3 of John 1 reveals the truth that Jesus Christ, the Christ, is creator. When we read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we could easily replace the word God for the name Jesus and still be biblically and spiritually accurate. In the beginning, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. Gives a whole new spin on the Old Testament in general, doesn't it? When you see the footprints of Jesus in every bit of it. Then we read in verse 14 that this Word, this Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. God took on flesh and humanity and became the ultimate revelation of God to man. The ultimate revelation of God to man is Jesus Christ. There's now no any longer any guessing about God, what he's like, what he thinks, nor how he loves mankind. For so long, man had it wrong. The Jews got it wrong. They thought God was all about rules and the law and all this stuff. And God came in the flesh to once and finally say, hey, you have this messed up. I will show you who I am by coming to you and showing you myself. God chose to step into time, and he chose to step into space and experience life as it is for those he created. Think about that for a minute. God stepped into our world to become like us, to experience what we experience. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. That's our Jesus. Sadly, many reject the word just for the simple reason they cannot comprehend the amazement of it all. I can't comprehend the amazement of it all either. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have given him today. The Apostle Paul builds upon this powerful and miraculous truth in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 and verse 28. Paul tells us that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now I want you to hold on to that verse, because I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Verse 18, he is also head of the body, the church. Bruce Reynolds is not the head of Old Town Hill Baptist Church. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. I'm going to get ahead of myself there. Would you stop right there? He is also and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. See, Paul uses the term image, that he is the image of the invisible God. What he is saying, he is speaking of a perfect and accurate image of God the Father. When he speaks of the radiance of God's glory, this is a reference or an imagery of a graving tool or a stamp, right? So you take a graving tool or a stamp and you stamp it. Each time you stamp it, it's identical. It's exactly. Jesus is the stamp, the identity of Jesus or of God the Father. Philippians 2:6 tells us, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He existed in the form of God. He is the imagery of God. Jesus is the representation and manifestation of God. And Paul uses the same verbiage to speak of Jesus being the full, final, and complete revelation of God once again. In John 14:7-9, Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him, and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Now get what Jesus says. He who has seen me has what? Seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is like, guys, I've been with you for 3 years. I've been showing you the Father. I've been illustrating and living so you could see the Father. Why are you coming to me asking me to show you the Father? I'm showing you and have been showing you who God is. Now you may point out the part where Jesus, it says of Jesus that he is the firstborn of all creation. I want you to understand, and you need to get this, that this is not speaking of chronological order, but of preeminence, position, and rank. So you have some false religions out there and go, see, Jesus was born. Jesus was created. Jesus was first of all the creation, but he was created, and that's not what the word's saying. The word's saying that Jesus is above and beyond creation. He is preeminent of everything that's ever been created. He's above it. So beware of false teachers on that. Psalms 89:27 solidifies that for us. It says, I also, when God talking about his son, he says, I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. We see that Jesus is not only creator, but he is also sustainer. Now remember I told you to hold on to that? I'm coming to that now. Jesus is the one who holds all things together. Now I'm not smart enough to do this, so in research I found this, and I'm just going to copy what I found. In his book, The Atom Speaks, Dr. Lee Chestnut describes the puzzle of why the nucleus of the atom holds together. Now, this is good stuff. And I quote, consider the dilemma of the nuclear physicist when he finally looks at in utter amazement at the pattern he had now drawn of the oxygen nucleus. For here are 8 positively charged protons closely associated together within the confines of this tiny nucleus. And with them are 8 neutrons, a total of 16 particles, 8 positively charged, 8 with no charge. Earlier physicists had discovered that like charges of electricity and like magnetic poles repel each other, and unlike charges or magnetic poles attract each other, in the entire history of electrical phenomena, and electrical equipment had been built upon these principles known as Coulomb's law of electrostatic force and the law of magnetism. What was wrong? What holds the nucleus together? Why doesn't it fly apart? And therefore, why do not all atoms fly apart? Now, Chestnut goes on, and you understand what he's saying. He's saying, you've got all these things coming together. They should be flying apart. But something's holding these atoms together. And they don't know, understand what it is. Now, he goes on to describe experiments performed in the 1920s and 1930s that proved Coulomb's law applied to an atomic nuclei. He goes on to say, the fact that we live in a world in which practically every object is a potential nuclear explosive without being blown to bits is due to the extreme difficulties that attend the starting of a nuclear reaction. He goes on to say, you grasp what this implies. It implies that all the massive nuclei have no right to be alive at all. Indeed, they should have never been created. And if created, they should have blown up instantly. Yet here they all are. Now here's what he quotes. Now this is a nuclear physicist. Some inflexible inhibition is holding them relentlessly together. The nature of the inhibition is also a secret, one thus far reserved by nature for herself. Well, let me tell you, Dr. Chestnut, it is no secret why these nuclei hold together and why these atoms hold together. It is our Creator, it is our Christ, by the name of Jesus, that is holding it all together. Isn't that awesome that you've got people, nuclear physicists, that don't understand how all this holds together? And the Bible tells us clearly it's Jesus that's holding it all together. They're going, that's not, it doesn't make any sense. There ought to be nuclear explosions happening all the time. This stuff ought to be flying all over the place. Some inhibition, that word is holding it together. And we all know who the designer is, and we all know who it is that holds it all together. He is the one who is over all thrones. This is the one who is over all dominions. This is the one who is over all rules and authorities. Ephesians 1:21 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That's our Jesus. When he speaks of all these earth, of all these kingdoms and authorities and dominion, he's not just speaking of earthly kingdoms, but he's also speaking that Jesus reigns over spiritual authorities and kingdoms. Jesus is Lord over angels and all principalities. And as we go through the book of John, we will see times when Jesus will tell demons to leave. And guess what they have to do? They have to leave. Why? Because he is ruler over them. They shriek when they see him. They cower when the presence of Jesus Christ comes into them. Why? Because he is supreme authority over all principalities and rulers. Jesus is Lord over angels and all principalities. In fact, if they don't worship him now, they will in the near future. As we were told that there will be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. Jesus is the head, the leader, the commander in chief over the church. We march to his orders. We move when he says to move, and we camp when he says to camp. Why is getting who Jesus is, who he really is, important? Why do we need to spend so much time, a whole year on Jesus? There's two reasons. First off, we see in verse 20 and 21 of Colossians 1, because through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, Jesus reconciled us. That's why we need to spend a whole year on Jesus. Is because through him and only through him are we reconciled to God the Father. And only through him can we be saved. That the name of Jesus, people, are saved. There is no other name under heaven which man has been given. We must understand the true Jesus, because it is by his blood alone, man can be saved. Acts 4:12 reminds us, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But the name of Jesus. The second reason we're going to spend a whole year talking about the Christ is so to share this wonderful truth with great confidence. Look, you can't share Jesus if you really don't know him. You can't do it. Verse 28 of Colossians 1 says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's why we spend time knowing who Jesus is. So that we can present to every man, woman, and child that you come in contact with who this Jesus is, so that they too may hear the wonderful news that God came for them to save them, to redeem them. That's why we need to know this Jesus. And as we draw closer to Him, the more we get to know Him. Listen, you can't help but get excited about Jesus. You can't help but tell people about His greatness, His amazing, powerful, and love for all man. So we can't share a Jesus we really don't know. But when we can finally begin to express our amazement and the power Jesus has to save, we won't have to be told to go and tell. We'll just go do it. We'll just do it. Because we have no choice. And let me remind you, to not do so is sin. To not speak of Jesus is sin. This is going to be a year that the church of Old Town Hill Baptist Church, we will reintroduce ourselves to Jesus the Christ, our Lord.